Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way, and glad to be able to share with you another broadcast time. You tune me in by the way of WDLP 93.1 building at 7 o'clock, and we stream this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.fm. You tune me in at Ionia, WION 1430 AM or 92.7 FM or over in the low 80 area. It's 100.3 FM, and I'm glad that you've tuned us in this morning. Others have tuned us in by the way of Greenville, WGOM, 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And we are now streaming both Ionia and Greenville by the way of the web, and that's pretty special. Others have tuned me in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 10 o'clock. Some are listening by the way of my website. My website is PastorKenHarger.com. Go to Messages from the Lighthouse. Just bring your mouse up over that, and it will show you current media. And click on current media. It takes you to the broadcast that we have for this morning. Whatever way you tuned me in, I'm just so glad to have you be a part of our broadcast time together this morning. I need to share with you that I need to say thank you to those that take care of the financial part of our broadcast time. Gloria Spencer, in memory and honor of her husband Spence, that was his nickname, and she lives in Orleans. Doug and Noreen Lane family from the Sheridan area, and Bill and Judy Hammond family from the building area. And I appreciate those that give us the support. Also, I need to say thank you to K.N. Kingsinger for selecting our music for this morning. And she's got it all ready for the month of February, and I'm glad that we're doing that. And we've got March all ready for her, so we're just keeping it ahead about a month at a time. I'd like to give an invitation to attend Shiloh Community Church at our Shiloh campus, which is in Orleans. Begins Saturday night, 6:30, Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, contemporary service at 10:45. And in our Greenville campus at the Old Calvary Baptist Church, the corner of Grove and Larace Street, we have a Sunday morning service there at 11 o'clock. Out to Shiloh, we're still looking for our lead pastor. And that's us starting to get some information of some people to look at. So we just got to take our time and just be a slow process of finding out who's going to be the next pastor at Shiloh Community Church. What a privilege I had to pastor there for 50 years. And I've still attended in these 11 years that I've been retired. And God has been a blessing in my life. And I appreciate that so much. This morning, we're going to spend most of our time talking about him. And the idea was just do it. You know, sometimes we monkey around and we just kind of put it off or procrastinate, whatever word you want to use to describe it. We put it off. Just do it. Have faith in God. And then I like the next thing too, and make a confession to him. Let God know that you believe who he is. Let God know that you believe what he's done. And let God know that you accept it for yourself. It's not something that you've been passed on from one generation to another. It's a decision that we make on our own, every single one of us. And we'll be addressing that in just a few moments. But I got us a song that I want us to listen to. And this song is kind of to prepare our hearts and minds for the message this morning. And it says, What I already know. And there's one statement in that song that I really like that kind of speaks to my heart anyway. It's talking about, I don't need no new information. I don't need some big thing to happen in my life for me to do it. You know what? I just need to believe what I already know. I just need to walk in the light that I have. And you know, that's what God says to us in his word. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we'll have fellowship with one another, and the blood of his dear son Jesus will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, let's get ready to prepare our hearts for this message and listen to this song and kind of come back and listen to the word of God and what he has for each and every one of us. I'll be right back in just a few moments.
Life has been a teacher, and now a friend, and at times I've been a sinner and a saint. I've been known to lose my temper, my patience and my pride, but I've never lost the need to pray. Lord, I don't need some truth revealed to me, or some sacred thing to hold. Well, all I really need is just a little more faith to believe what I already know. You said you'd never leave me, you'd walk right by my side. Right now all I feel is alone, 'cause I can't see your angels watching over me. Oh, but Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Lord, I don't need some mountain moved for me, or some miracle to behold. All I really need is just a little more faith to believe what I already know. Than mine, but Lord, if you get the time, I don't need the waters to part for me, or to see those streets of gold. Well, all I really need is just a little more faith to believe what I already know. Yeah, the secret to walking down life's road is to believe what I already know.
I believe that's true of all of us this morning. We just need a little more faith to believe what we already know. God has given us that assurance that we need, that kind of courage from Him. I don't know what that was all about, but it started right back up again. But anyway, we need that assurance as we walk with Him each and every day. And we're going to talk about God this morning. Just some thoughts about who He is and what He wants to do for us. And you know, I'm not going to give you anything brand new. I'm just going to share the simplicity of who God is and His promises He gives you, how He describes Himself. And we'll take a look at that. But you know, before I do, I just want to remember in prayer our listening audience. Once again, you're the reason I'm here at the Lighthouse. And you know, over here at the Lighthouse today, the entire lake is frozen over again, and then it's got a little coat of snow on top of it, which makes it even a little more dangerous. You used to kind of be able to see some spots that you knew was very thin, so I hope nobody gets on it until it gets a little more colder weather to make sure we got a good, safe ice. But you know something, it's beautiful just to see how big the lake is and to see it nice and white and covered as it is today. But you know, as we think about our own individual lives, You know, we just need to get a picture in our mind and heart of who God is, but not from our society, not from mankind, but from God himself. And so that's what I want to do this morning. But as I mentioned, I want to pray for you. So as we do, Father, we come to you in behalf of the listening audience. Once again, I count it a privilege to share the message this morning. Once again, dear Father, I count it a privilege to pray for people that some I know because I've met and some I do not know. But Father, to pray for them in whatever they're experiencing in their individual life today. Father, there's a lot of ways that we experience a lot of the same things as we go through this journey called life. And we realize that that helps us to understand what others are going through. But dear Father, you know, as we think about our own selves, get up in these years in the 80s and we're reminded that things are not always the same as they have been. Sometimes we have a sleepless night. I had a sleepless night last night. So Father, as I come to you, I just want to pray for those that's had a sleepless night. Those that's wrestling with things that their children are going through. Those that's going through a difficult task because they've lost a loved one. Had two funerals last week, and to be with those people as they lay to rest their loved one is just a very sobering time for each and every one of us. And Father, I also want to remember those that's maybe struggling financially, maybe struggling spiritually. I want to pray for that person, too, that's just had a beautiful week. Just that everything has just been wonderful this week. We thank you and we praise you. Father, we want to rejoice with those that are rejoicing. And we want to weep with those who are weeping. So speak to our hearts today from your word and show us what you want us to know. And I'll thank you and I'll praise you for that. In the wonderful name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. Well, who is this God? How do I get to know him? How do I get to understand what he is like? And this week, I'm just saying, just do it. Just do it. Have a little faith in God. One of my favorite verses about this is one that's found in Psalm 34, verse 8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Isn't that a beautiful thought? Taste and see that the Lord is good. I just looked this up and I found this information. I want to pass it on to you. The average person has about 10,000 taste buds that are replaced every 2 weeks. You have four types of taste buds scattered among your tongue. But they are areas of major concentration. There's the sweet, mostly in the tip of your tongue or the front of your tongue. There is the sour, mostly in the middle of your tongue. There is the salty, mostly on the front side and the back side of your tongue. There is the bitter, mostly in the back of your tongue. It is a sense of taste that allows us to really enjoy our food. It sort of gives us a personal attraction, attachment rather, to food, like the things that we really like. You know, my mother-in-law, before she passed away, she had lost her sense of taste. Everything tasted the same. I've been with those that have had chemo for cancer and so on, and they said everything just tastes the same. Taste buds are just a little thing inside of us. But it makes all the difference in the world. I like God's use of the word taste when he's talking about the goodness of God. Taste is internal. It's something we feel inside of us. It must always be brought within the mouth to eat before we can really taste it. Just looking at it, you can't really taste it. It becomes a part of us. Then we can taste it. I've noticed the word blessed is in the Bible so many times. And in this case today, he speaks of the person that takes refuge in God is a blessed person. There's blessings that come to your life that you'll never have in any other way. Just think about your growing up years. We must have heard many times, I did as a child, to taste something and see if you like it. You got to taste it first. You know, some things we didn't really like to taste, such as broccoli, squash, Brussels sprouts, peas. Ah, peas. To taste them and the way they are in your mouth. I'm sure you did as I did and found out there were some things you really didn't like after you tasted them. And I'm sure at the same time you found out there were some things you really did like that you didn't think you would. I want to share this thought, having been a part of life now for these 84 years. I want to share with you that sometimes our taste buds change. You know, there's things that I didn't like as a child that now I really like. There's some things that I liked as a child I don't really like. So our taste buds must change. But you know what God is saying to us? Taste and see. The Lord is good. As in your mama, maybe when you was just growing up and you tasted something and said, oh, that's pretty good. I won't forget when one of our great-grandsons was over to the house one day, and we was down by the lake here, and I had just opened a can of orange pop. And my son, my grandson was holding the great-grandson, and he wasn't very old, couple years old. And I said to him, you want a taste of this? And, you know, I gave him a little taste of my can of pop. And his eyes lit up, you know, and he just looked so happy. And he kind of grabbed the can. You know what? He still likes, he now is about four. He still seems to like that orange pop. And I'm glad that I was a part of that when I gave him his first taste. I believe that Christianity is something to be experienced. You can't just talk about it. You can't just think about it. It's something you got to believe. I love the words of Queen of Sheba, who had heard about the wisdom of King Solomon. And she traveled a long ways. And this is what she said. She come to see him after she had heard of all of his wisdom it had. And howbeit, this is what she said. I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen, and behold, half has not been told. You see, she's saying, you got to try it for yourself. And she was willing to seek out this wisdom of King Solomon and said, man, half hasn't been told about the wisdom that he has. I think you and I need to realize that God wants us to realize in our own individual life, half hasn't been told. You can't understand the things of God until you taste and see that the Lord is good. There's a Bible verse that I really like. It says, however, as it is written, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, nor the human mind has not conceived all things that God has prepared for them who love him. You know, I think God's saying you cannot understand the joy of the Christian life until you experience it. You got to experience it for yourself. And that's what he's teaching us about God. We got to experience it for ourselves. And then we can have something to know. Oh, taste and see. And I'm telling you, you will see that the Lord is good. I do not have faith because God, I want to have faith because of who God is. Let me share with you some of the ways I have heard the people describe God. And probably the one I've heard the most is the man upstairs, or the big guy. Today I want us to think of how God describes himself. You see, it depends how you was raised. Sometimes we think of God just leaning over the heavens curve, so to speak, over the walls of heaven and peering down and looking upon us and just waiting for us to mess up. That's something that came from mankind, not from God. Even when we think of the man upstairs or the big guy, that's not the thoughts of God. That's the thoughts of a human that has given us that idea. I like to see where God met with Moses one day. And God said to Moses that he wanted to describe himself. God was really calling Moses to go deliver the nation of Israel. Remember, in Moses' life, he was spared as a baby. He was raised by the Egyptians. One day he killed an Egyptian and he fled. He's been living now about 40 years in the backside of a desert taking care of some sheep. The nation of Israel has been put into a lot of pain because of the Egyptians. They became their slaves, and they were crying out to God for some deliverance. And one day when Moses was out taking care of the sheep on the backside of the desert, all of a sudden he saw something like tumbleweed burst into fire. Now, that was not uncommon in the desert. That happened many times. But you know what Moses noticed about this? Moses noticed it burned, but it didn't burn up. It kept right on burning. And Moses says, I got to go check this out. What is this? What is it that can do this kind of thing? So he walked over to where the bush was burning, and he looked at what was happening there. And all of a sudden, a voice said to him, Moses, take off your shoes. The place you're standing is holy ground. And God was speaking to Moses. You know what God told Moses? He wasn't looking for this, folks. He said to Moses, I'm going to choose you to lead my people Israel out of the lands of Egypt. And it's almost like Moses would say, what did you say? What did you say? I'm going to use you. Now, remember, Moses lived in the Egyptian area for 40 years. Now he's lived in the backside of the desert for 40 years. So he's 80 years old. And God is saying to him, I got something I want you to do for me. I've heard the cry of my people in Israel, and I want to deliver them, and I'm sending you. Oh, Moses had some excuses. He couldn't talk plain or whatever, but one of the excuses that I like, he said to God, then who am I supposed to tell him has sent me to do this? By what authority could I do this? Who is it that I can say? And God, listen to what God said. I am who I am. God saying, I am, and I am who I am. That's how we describe God himself to Moses. Say to the people, I am has sent me to you. That's in the book of Exodus chapter 3. God describes himself in three words. I am who I am. I believe that is a starting point for Moses. And I believe it's a starting point for each one of us. Simply to say, God is God. I don't ask who created God. That makes somebody bigger than him. God is God. That's what he's saying to us. Simply believe that God is God. I believe that was enough for Moses to do what God asked him to do. But I'm so glad that God gave us so much more of the description of himself through his Son, the Lord Jesus. Jesus shared with his disciples one day, if you have known me, you would know my Father. Jesus says, I'm evidence of my Father. How I am is how my Father is. What I'm teaching you is what my Father wanted me to teach you. And then Jesus told that to the disciples, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And one of the disciples, Philip, said, Lord, show us the Father, and it's enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long that you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. That's a beautiful way of describing. Who is God? He's like Jesus. He is Jesus. And Philip didn't believe that. He still goes on and says, do you not believe that I am the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. The Father who dwells within me does his work. Believe me, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Hear that word? I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Or else believe on account of my works themselves. Jesus revealed himself to as being the God, the Son of God the Father. And he wants us to understand that's how he describes his Father. You've seen me, you've seen the Father. You hear the stuff I'm teaching you, you hear what the Father's teaching you. Now, there's all kinds of names for God, and I'm not going to go into all that this morning. There's the Creator. I love some of the things that I say sometimes. He is the shepherd. We are the sheep. He is the Creator. We are the creation. That is words talking about Holy God, Almighty God, all of those kinds of things. But I'm not going there this morning. I'm just thinking of this thought. If you've seen Jesus, you've seen God the Father. If you understand the teachings of Jesus, you understand the teachings of God the Father. Going to do one more thing before we take a little pause and listen to a song. Just do it. Have faith in God because of what he is made of. You might ask me, what is God made of? Let's see some descriptions of the makeup of God as spoken in the Old Testament that describes who the person of God is like, his compassion and his graciousness. You see, what I want us to think of in these next part of the message is what's some words to describe the very character of God. You know, sometimes there's a word used when you're going to Bible school. It's the attributes of God, what he's made up of. Then God gave us this in Exodus when he talked to Moses another time. Then the Lord came down in a cloud, and he stood with him, Moses, and he proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses and proclaimed, now listen, the Lord, God is God. The compassion and graciousness of God. He is slow to anger. He is abundantly in love. He's faithful. He's maintaining love to our thousands. He forgives wickedness. He forgives rebellion and sin. He does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punished the guilty even into their children and their children's children. You know, that's the problem of what happens when people live away from God. All of a sudden you find their children and their children's children live away from God. That's been repeated over and over in so many ways. But God is saying, I'm forgiving. I'm loving. I'm faithful. I'm gracious. That's describing God himself. Listen to this another verse in the book of Deuteronomy. Oh, sovereign Lord. Sovereign. That's the greatness of God. You have begun to show me, your servant, your greatness and your strong hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth who can do the deeds and the mighty works you do? Some of the greatness of God is described in the things that he did. We see that God's makeup then, it tells us that, and the Son taught us the same thing when he sent his Son Jesus into the world. He said 700 years before Jesus was born, this is what you're going to do, Jesus. And one day when Jesus went to his hometown where he had been raised, he took the very same bunch of verses from the book of Isaiah, and he told them when he got done speaking about it, this day, these verses are fulfilled in your ear. I've come to do this. Now, this is what he says he come to do. This is what God wants to do today. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me, listen to what he says now, to preach good news to the poor. Bring some good news to those that are struggling. He set me to bind up the brokenhearted. He set me to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. To proclaim the year of the Lord, the day of the vengeance of our God. He sent me to comfort all who mourn, and to provide those with in grief in Zion, to bestow upon them a crown of beauty instead of the ashes, and the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. They will be called the oaks of righteousness, planted by the Lord for his display of his splendor. God can do things in human's life that changes their entire life. I love the way this is shared in the New Testament. In the book of 1 John, it says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because," listen to this now, "because God is love." This is how God showed his love amongst us. This is how he demonstrated it for us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through this one Jesus. That's the beautiful thing of who Jesus really is. He's describing to us God the Father. We'll just take a little break and we'll listen to a song. I like this song that's reminding us, you know, of even though I can't see God and never have seen him, yet we realize that he loves us and he cares for us. And this song is saying, you know what? Even though I don't see him, I believe in him. I still want to trust in him. I believe in what he's able to do. And that's my purpose this morning, is to get us to understand that this God is a good God. He's a great God. He's a wonderful God to each one of us. I'll be right back.
I'm crazy for believing in someone I've never seen. Shakes his head and laughs at me when I say heaven's more than a dream. It's a reality. One day he will see.
I still believe we need to know that God wants us to understand. That's so powerful. See, I was about 17 and a half when I tasted and found that the Lord was good. And now I'm 84, soon to be 85, and I'm telling you, I still believe. I still believe. We've been through a lot of different things in my life. And I tell you, I still believe. Because what we find when we taste this God is that he is gracious, he is loving, he is forgiving. As we look at the Lord Jesus and we listen to the Lord Jesus, it gives us a picture of God the Father. And this is the one he's asking us to believe in. I love this. Remember what God told Moses? I am, have sent you. I am who I am. I am God, God. You know what? When Jesus was here, you and I need to realize that he's saying to you and he's saying to me, just do it. Have faith in God. Because Jesus described who God is by some examples that he gave. And one day when he was with the people, he said, I am who I am. That's what God said. And Jesus said this. He said it seven times in the book of the Gospel of John. Seven times in this gospel, this word is expressed. I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger. I am the bread of life. Jesus said, you need something that you can't get any other place. You need spiritual food. And Jesus said, I'm the spiritual food. The God, the Father, is the spiritual food you need in your life. And you know what he says? You'll never hunger. God can satisfy the hunger that you have. Have you noticed that people keep looking for different things to satisfy their hunger? Haven't you done that when you went to the refrigerator sometime? Maybe in the evening you just wanted a little snack of something and you couldn't see for sure what you really wanted. And so you tried this and you tried this and you tried this and finally you got yourself full and probably the last thing you ate would have satisfied you. God is saying, listen. Satisfaction for your life. You need the bread of life. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Second time he spoke, he was talking to the Pharisees. They were the religious people. And they thought they was just everything. They had everything right and you do it their way or else. And they had a lot of rules and regulations. Rules and regulations doesn't help us to live our life. Listen to what Jesus said. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will have life filled with light and will never live in darkness. God says you need some light to your life. You're living in a dark world and darkness is all around you. You need some light in your life. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. That's what the Father meant when he said, I am has sent you. The third time Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, and that it may give more fruit. He's saying, I'm the vine. I'm the source of life. I want you to be connected to me. We need to be connected to an eternal source of life. I love it. Did you ever notice on the grapes, the vine doesn't produce the grapes? It's the branches that produce the grapes. On the apple tree, it's not the main trunk that produces the grapes, the apples rather. It's the vine. It's the branches that produce the fruit. Jesus said, I'm the true vine. Connect to me and you'll have life. And you'll have life that's very abundant. And by the way, he says, you know, if you produce fruit, he'll prune the tree and it'll produce more fruit. Jesus one day said, I'm the good shepherd. And the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. You know what, folks? The sheep were blessed when they had a good shepherd. And Jesus reminds you and he reminds me, I'm the good shepherd. And then he said sometime later, and this is a powerful one, folks. Mary and Martha had just lost their brother Lazarus. And they were in the grieving process and they were hurting because they knew if Jesus had been there, he could have done something to keep Lazarus from dying. And when both sisters seen Jesus, this is what they said. They said, they said to Jesus, you had been here. Lazarus wouldn't die. Listen to what Jesus said. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Just pass from death into life. He said to the sisters, do you believe this? And I think that's what he says to you and I today. Do you believe this? There's no one else can promise us this, folks. There's no one else that's proved this to be true. It is only Jesus that was died. And when he died, before he died, he said, if I die, I will rise again. And 3 days later, he came alive to tell us. And that's the eternal life that we're talking about. I love what Jesus said one day to the disciples when he was talking to them about death. Jesus said, my Father has a mansion, and there's plenty of room, and there's going to be room just for each one of you. And then Jesus said this, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to my Father except through me. Jesus is saying, I'm the way to heaven. I'm the way to the Father. He said, I'm the truth about heaven. I'm the truth about the Father. He said, I'm a picture of the life that is in heaven. And I'm a picture of the life that is inside of the Father. It is called eternal life. What beautiful ways Jesus described to God the Father. What beautiful ways when he talked about things that will meet the needs of each one of our individual lives. But you know, that's not the fascinating part about all of that. You know what really is beautiful to me? When I put this together in my mind and in my heart. One day Jesus said to the disciples, whom do men say I am? Well, some say you're the prophet Isaiah. Some say you're the prophet Elias. And they had different names. Some say you're John the Baptist, come back from the dead. And Jesus listened to all those different ideas. And I think that's what we hear today. Who do you say Jesus is? And everybody, oh, he's a good man. He was a good teacher. But listen to what Jesus says next. And I got to tell you, folks, from my heart to yours, I need to hear that. Jesus said to his disciples, but who do you say I am? And I say to you, who do you say Jesus is? Who is Jesus to you? Who is he? How do you describe him? He's got many things that he wants to do for you that we've already looked at. He wants to be your portion of love and graciousness and faithfulness. He wants to be the door that allows you to go into heaven. He wants to be the true vine of your life. He wants to be the good shepherd of your life. And Peter's listening. You know what Peter said? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I love what Jesus said to Peter. Blessed are you, Simon. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. But my Father in heaven has revealed that to you. That's the purpose of this message, that we might understand that the Father in heaven is telling us not what the society says God is and Jesus is, not what even the religious people say that God is, but he's reminding us that this one God is such a good God, and you need to taste and see that he's your shepherd. You need to taste and see that he's your door to eternity. You need to taste and see for understanding that one day you're going to die. But in the Lord Jesus Christ, even though we die, we shall live. So I want to kind of wrap this time up a little bit with some thoughts that I like that I hang on to. I believe God can be understood. And God can be realized who he is, what he's like, what he's made up of in promises that he gives to us. So I've just written down some promises that I use very often in my life to realize that God is helping us to overcome things that we couldn't overcome by ourselves, things that were too difficult for us to be able to do. So let's just listen to this promise. It's in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 and through 4. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. See, he's saying, you know what? Grace and peace will be multiplied. He didn't say added. He said it'll be multiplied to you through this one Jesus Christ. Now listen to this next part. As his divine power has given us all things, his divine power, God's divine power has given us all things pertaining to life, to godliness, through the knowledge of him who has called us by glory and the virtue of which has been given to us in exceedingly great and precious promises. I love the way God describes his promises. Great and precious promises. That through these promises you may be partaker of divine nature. You know what he's saying? I'm stepping into your life to give you power in your life that you will never have in any other way. It's divine power. Because you be able, with that divine power, you'll be able to escape a lot of the things of the world that overtake so many other people. Because this world is full of a lot of lust, he says. And you could easily be drawn away from that. So it's like God is saying to you and I, when I come into your life, I give you ability beyond your own ability to live the way that you should live. That's what so often is so bad or dangerous about folks who think about, I want to be religious, but what if I can't live up to it? And God is saying, no, you don't have to live up to it. I'll live within you and give you that courage. Listen to this. This is one of my favorite promises. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. They are plans of peace and not disaster. Plans to give you a future filled with hope. Then you'll call upon me. You'll come and pray to me and I'll hear you. When you look for me, you will find me. When you wholeheartedly seek me, I will let you find me, declares the Lord. That describes God to us. He's got plans for your life. And it's not plans of trouble. It's plans of peace. And it's not that he wants you to live in a less wonderful way. He said it's not a plan of disaster. But it's a plan to give you a future. Not just for old age, but forever. It's a plan to fill you with hope. That when you live every day of your life, no matter what age you are, you'll have some hope. When you wholeheartedly seek me, he said. I love it that one of my favorite verses that I share with people so often when they're in the hospital, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. He will not abandon me. So I can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. And God also has said, I have not given you the spirit of fear, but I've given you the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I got to tell you, when I go through times when my thoughts run wild and I think that things are happening, I just went through that as I had to have an MRI, and I tell you, your mind will think the worst. And I found out now that I don't have cancer in my brain, but I have a spot on my brain. But you know what? This is one of my verses I used during that period of time for those 2 weeks. I'll keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me because he trusts in me. These are promises that God gives us, and it helps us to understand and describe God for ourselves. There's more I want to share on this subject, but the time is gone. But can I just do this with you before I leave? Oh, please, taste the Lord and see he's good. He's already been good to you, but you need to taste him to see. He's good for your past. He's good for your present. He's good for your future. He's good for your life as you live it here on planet Earth. And he's good for you for all eternity, because God wants to do that for you. But here's the bottom line of what we got to do in order for that to work. The bottom line says that we need to confess. We need to admit that God is good. We need to admit that I have sinned and that God's paid the price for my sin. And I need to ask him, confess to him. It tells us in Romans 10, 9 and 10, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thy heart that the Lord Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth confession is made, but with the heart we believe. And that's what God wants us to do. His cry is for us today, oh, taste and see, my friend, I am good. Confess me, confess that I am before me, and I got to tell you, God will give you freedom in your heart. I'm going to close with a song that simply says, in Christ alone, and this song is reminding us that what we need is the Lord Jesus Christ. We need him in our life to help us. And I trust that God's blessing you this day as we think of, oh, taste and see, the Lord is good.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still and striving cease. My comforter, my all and all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. Body lay, light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, since Christ has lost its grip on me, for I am his. Bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. And no power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. And no power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand.